Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck it!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is another Monday night here. Icon and the name that the Icon has given me, the Big Swing, here with you. And we are watching Raw. Yeah, well, we're watching Raw, like we always do. No confirmed guests for tonight. That's what we talked about off the air, is we had guests who we thought might potentially be coming on, but nothing 100% confirmed. If that's the case, we'll just bitch about the pay-per-view and talk about Raw for a little bit, and then we'll hit you up on Wednesday, and I'll let Icon tell you who is coming on Wednesday. But first, you know, it's kind of funny, because you know how Icon always tells stories out here about, you know, when independent wrestlers, or even when the WWE, or back, it was the WWF back then, but even when they used to come to Fargo, North Dakota, where he's from, he used to talk about all the different times when he's interacted with wrestlers and the different things he's seen. Well, I have a clip here. I'm just waiting for it to properly load up in this stupid switchboard system that I have, but I'm just waiting for this to go. But I have something that reminded me of the Icon a little earlier. So once that's ready to go, we'll get that played up, and he can tell me how accurate exactly that is. And then we'll talk a little bit about last night's pay-per-view, which Icon was telling me off the air he was a bit disgusted with. And, you know, are there racial reasons for it? Who knows? I hope not. and I think you guys know what I'm talking about. Spoiler alert. As well as the fact that, you know, just nothing happened. It was just a boring pay-per-view. But we'll get into that in a little bit. I'm going to play this right now if it's loaded. Let me see here. Let me just refresh the good old page. And then we'll get into some wrestling talk here. Where is it? N, right? N is for North. North Dakota. The Dakota to the north side. Okay. There's a little bit of talking in the beginning that really has nothing to do with North Dakota. It is actually from a TV show. So the part that you need to focus on is the North Dakota part. So sort of take the talking part out of it for a minute. Let me, where the hell did I put it? Gosh darn it. Just because I don't feel like cursing right now, even though I'm very easily could.
For people that are wondering, I have not heard this clip.
I'll find
it. I have no idea what it is. But I'm sure it's going to be interesting because knowing the Big Swing is probably going to have something to do with me and Edge, knowing him.
No, actually, to be honest with you, it really has nothing to do with Edge. It actually has, honestly, I just wanted to play it because I only get to talk to you, at least on air anyway, once a week, and it actually has to do with North Dakota.
Okay.
I just need to find it in my system here, in which
and
I will do.
When I call you to talk to you away from the air, you're always busy, and you know. I mean, you're a busy guy, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm a busy guy too, but most of my busyness comes on Saturday and Sunday. You know, you're busy all week long. You know.
Well, I'm busy. Yeah, I'm just a busy guy. All right, I got it here for you. And then we do have somebody very special on the line here with us as well. But here, again, the beginning part really has nothing to do with it. But here we go.
There's my handsome business partner. Now, we can't be late for our meeting with the bank.
That's so cool you guys are going to open a business.
Yeah, well, I got a ton of business experience. I mean, I had that job creating ads for the North Dakota Board of Tourism. Hi, do you like South Dakota but don't want to see Mount Rushmore? Come to North Dakota. It's just a very long drive from wherever you live. Best of all, most of the good license plates aren't taken yet. Imagine coming here and having Cool Dude, or Yay Jews, or Boo Jews, depending on where you stand on Jews. North Dakota, we're not even the best Dakota.
There you go. So, kind of reminded me a little bit of you.
Well,
it's just a really long drive. It's just a really long drive from wherever you live. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, well, you got to let me retort on that a little bit. The thing is, excuse me, got me all choked up thinking about it. But actually, when it comes to South Dakota, we are the better Dakota because the Jackrabbits suck. They suck in football. They suck in football. They suck in men's basketball. They suck in wrestling. They suck in volleyball, women's volleyball. They just suck every time we play them, you know. And
I'm pretty sure they made the NCAA tournament. But another thing I wanted to mention to you real quick. Before we get our very special guest on, who's going to join us for hopefully for the majority of the show, how about
you
that? I was like, speaking of women's sports. Well, I'll tell you a minute. Especially speaking of women's sports and whatnot, as you may or may not know, softball is going on right now. The North Dakota State Bison, the women's softball team, upset number one in the country. Oklahoma University the other day. You see that?
And then
the softball team.
Then we lost them last night.
Yeah, but still, you beat number one in the country in the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's still crazy. So,
yeah, well,
but anyway.
I'll tell you what, we have a great volleyball team. There's no denying that. And believe it or not, I actually have season tickets NDSU Bison softball. Believe it or not. Yes.
Well, nice.
Of course.
Okay.
Name one sport that the Bison play that I don't have season tickets for. Golf. Because they don't play anywhere close
to
North Dakota when
golf.
They play.
Yeah,
well,
golf or,
I mean,
like the chess club. Although, who knows, you might go to that as well. What I wanted to say was we have a caller on with us who some of you listening may know, some of you may not know. Icon and I certainly know. He is also a fellow New Yorker who is hopefully going to hook us up with some SummerSlam tickets, and we'd be glad to pay him. It is Jason is on with us. So I saw his number pop up during the North Dakota ad, wanted to put him on. So.
What's going on, guys?
Jason, stranger, man, you finally ran out of booty, so you decided to join us.
Yeah, I upgrade my bootios for some ginger mahal or some Indian food.
The Maharaja. Yeah, well, it's funny because you're going to get him going here, Jason. He was telling me off the air how much he hated the pay-per-view last night. And I told him I didn't hate it. I didn't despise it. I just felt like nothing really climatic happened until that last moment. Because honestly, I didn't think Jinder Mahal going from being a jobber, you know, 3 months ago to now being the WWE champion, I didn't see it coming. So that was pretty climactic. Other than that, I didn't really see too much that really, you know, gave me goosebumps. I mean, you know, I thought the way that the AJ Styles match ended was bullshit. I couldn't tell if that was an accident. If he accidentally stepped into that thing or if that was planned, because the way it looked, it looks like he accidentally did it, got hung up, and the ref had no choice. All right, I'm going to call the bell. You know, Kevin Owens grabbed that title quickly and left the ring, so I can't even tell about that because he was actually legitimately stuck. Like, if you look with all the wires and stuff in there, he was actually, like, legitimately hung up. So I don't know if that was real or not. The women's match was kind of, whatever. And you know who I was disappointed in? It's who you, Jason, the NXT guy, and who Icon has been really pushing on me, saying, hey, listen, you got to see his in-ring stuff. I know he can't talk well, but you got to see his in-ring stuff. It's Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, I've seen bits and pieces of Nakamura versus Finn Balor in NXT, and it was amazing. But, again, I'm like, that's NXT. It's the minor leagues. You know, I'm not going to watch the Scranton Railroaders. I'm going to watch the New York Yankees. You know, I don't pay attention to them till they're in the big leagues. So now I finally get a chance to see Shinsuke Nakamura, and it was really kind of a boring match. I mean, did I think he was going to beat Dolph Ziggler? Yes, because of all the hype that was around him and all that. But he just didn't impress me the way I was expected to just be blown out of the water by Shinsuke, and I wasn't. I don't know if you guys felt differently.
No, I got a comment about this. I have a comment about this.
Okay.
Okay. What? Now, here's the thing. Now, a couple things, and we'll get onto this more in detail as we go from match to match. I do apologize.
Right.
I misplaced my notes. I think I left them on my desk at work. But first off, his face was linked to the pay-per-view, was he not, as his debut?
It was. Yeah, he was inside the L symbol for the Backlash. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, right. Then here's my question. Why the hell was his match on first? That's it. You know, if he's supposed to be If it's supposed to be his debut, why would you not put him on later than match number one?
It was like starting off with a bang, you know, because a lot of these pay-per-views, I mean, it's a B show anyway, okay?
Sure.
And a lot of these pay-per-views, they don't have the same kind of superstar talent. I mean, look at it this way. Why was AJ Styles the first match of WrestleMania? You know what I'm saying? It's like sometimes they want to start the pay-per-view and have you go, oh, damn, you know? Like it's not like the Attitude Era that had all the matches have such crazy, ridiculous buildup that, you know, you didn't give a shit what happened in the first hour. You were waiting to see the Stone Cold Triple H or the Stone Cold McMahon or Undertaker and whoever. And yeah, you didn't even care what else happened. You just were so excited for the main event. This one now, the new era that we're in, everybody's kind of even. There's not really anybody that's a standout breakout star like that. So they have to sort of give you the higher profile matches early on in order to keep your interest the entire way through. I mean, what are they going to do? You know, the 205 live match first. All right. Well,
yeah.
I'll start watching pay-per-view at 8:30 then, you know, like, I mean, they want to draw you in. If you hear that's coming first, cause they announced it on the pre-show. And if you hear, oh shit, the Shinsuke match going to be first. Wow. I want to see that. It's going to draw you in, and then you're going to sit there, and then you're going to sit there the whole time. And it's good marketing. It really is. I was in favor of it.
Well, you know, here's another point about that. Now, obviously, Nakamura did get a big pop from the crowd, obviously.
Well, he always does. Yeah, he always does.
And the thing is, are they going to ruin him like they did Roman Reigns? Are they gonna screw him up and sabotage his career too? Because you remember it happened when they shoved Roman Reigns down our throats, saying he was the next big thing. Now if he's supposed to be the next big thing.
Yeah, but Roman never got the pop that Shinsuke gets. I mean, think about it this way,
yeah.
Jason. I know you're a football, you're a sports guy as well. And Icon, I know you're a sports guy, even though you don't really follow too much outside of North Dakota State. But you ever heard of Florida State, the Tomahawk Chop? Okay, that reminds
that
me a little
the,
bit.
I thought that was the Braves.
Well, yeah, but Florida State does it too.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Tomahawk Chop when he comes out. You get the entire arena in unison doing the same thing. Roman Reigns has never had that, so. These fans, see, the WWE Universe is in a weird way because, and I think that's why Vince screwed up, was back in the day, they told us who we were and weren't supposed to like. Okay, Triple H was a bad guy, but he was just such an asshole on the air that he had no choice but to be the bad guy. Same thing with The Rock. The Rock joined the corporation, which was evil, with Vince McMahon. He was just such a douchebag before he became the people's champion. It kind of all fell into place like a puzzle. Now, these fans, they pick and choose. I mean, you still got to this day, John Cena's been the anchor of that company for 15 years. You still have Let's Go Cena and Cena Sucks chants in the arena. And, you know, these fans are deciding more and more via social media, via whatever it may be. And these fans are deciding who they like. And they've already decided they like Shinsuke. I don't think the fans have really ever been too wild on Roman, even when he was in the Shield. And when they were cheering for the Shield, they were cheering for the collective unit. So, you know, I don't think that he's going to ruin it because these fans have already made their mind up. Now, Jason, do you have anything on that?
Well,
Jason,
I think the whole thing with Shinsuke, that was his first match. It's only going to get better. And the perfect person for him, against would have been Dolph Ziggler. I think they're going to, like I said earlier before, a couple weeks ago, I think they're going to separate him and AJ Styles as far away from each other as possible, and that's going to be a WrestleMania build-up for SmackDown Live.
All right, I'm down with it. But, you know,
since when has Shinsuke been a power guy? Because they talked about Shinsuke saying, oh, this is what, they kept saying it. This is a strong style. For some reason, now maybe it's a racist thing of me to think this, I don't know. But for some reason, because I look at him and I just think he's a high flyer. He's a off the top rope, crazy flips through the air, Jeff Hardy type high flyer. And that's not a style at all. And it just kind of took me off guard a little bit. I see him and I'm like, huh, I can see this guy doing crazy Shane McMahon type leaps off the top rope. And he doesn't really do that. So that kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I think I was expecting, not so much that I was disappointed. I shouldn't say I'm disappointed. I just was expecting something different from Shinsuke, I guess, than what I got. I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, you know, with him, you know, as a high flyer, you know, I think a great thing for him would be, say, a cage match, you know. Jumping off the top rope from the cage, that kind of stuff. He's that kind of a high flyer. And it won't be too long before you see something like that. Now, you know, you talked about the Shield a little bit. Tonight we're getting this. I believe tonight is the start of the Shield reunion because we have Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns taking up tonight in a match against our Samoa Joe and Bray Wyatt.
Who do you think wins the five pack?
Who do I think Bray Wyatt?
You think Bray Wyatt?
Yeah,
wins,
I think it's Bray Wyatt too. I think so too.
Yeah,
because it kind of goes back to what I told you about Shinsuke and AJ. They're trying to keep Roman and Brock as separate as possible because that's going to be a Raw WrestleMania next year.
Well,
right.
I just thought that it was very, very strange for Paul Heyman to come out and do what Paul Heyman does tonight and just eviscerate everybody with his words, except for Finn Balor, who he had nothing but praise for. And Finn Balor comes out and he says, "You know, I'm going to win the six-pack challenge, whatever it may be." Brock Lesnar could have done that with any member. They could have had any member of that match come out at various points and have Paul Heyman interrupt and sing their praises like he did with Finn Balor. So that kind of makes me think, okay, maybe they're trying to push Finn Balor here because Finn Balor never did lose the title. He was injured. He had to give it up. And that was a real-life injury. It wasn't even a kayfabe injury, and he had to give it up. So my thing, though, however, would be Brock Lesnar and Bray Wyatt, I think, would be the better match. Simply because I think that the promos would be epic. I mean, can you imagine Paul Heyman, the microphone king that he is, and having those battles, those talking battles with Bray Wyatt leading up to SummerSlam? It would be epic because Bray Wyatt's a great talker anyway with his whole Face of Fear and Eater of Worlds thing that he does. Then Paul Heyman going back and forth. I think that would be awesome. But I think Finn Balor, they want to give the belt back to him. The problem is, I just think Brock Lesnar and Finn Balor is a complete mismatch. I mean, in real life, he would rip his head off. So I just, I don't, I like the prospect and the reality of what a Bray Wyatt and Finn, a Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar match would look like. But I just have this weird inkling that WWE wants to give the belt back to Finn Balor for some reason.
Well, here's a good point. First off, you know, you mentioned this. Name one wrestler that's not a mismatch with Brock Lesnar in that five. That's question
Brock Lesnar,
one.
Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman. That's
Braun
pretty much
Strowman's
it on the Raw roster. Well, no, and oh, that's in that match.
Yeah.
Probably body style wise, probably either Bray Wyatt or Roman Reigns are not complete physical mismatches. No.
Now here's the thing. Now we, of those two, Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt, guess who fans do not want it to be?
Roman Reigns.
Exactly. So who do you think it's going to be?
I mean, you make a point, but Jason also makes a good point that you want to keep them separated as possible because you don't want to blow, you know, you don't want to blow, you know, your WrestleMania build up this early. And if the rumors are true and, you know, they want Brock to hold the belt till WrestleMania, which I think is stupid because he's a part-timer, but if that's the case, then, yeah, I can see Roman, you know, taking down The Undertaker one night, or I mean one year, and then taking down Brock Lesnar the second year. But I don't know. I don't see it. I don't know. I really, this is one of those things, WWE does not befuddle me very often, but this is one I'm a little bit flip-floppy on.
You know, here's another good point. Right now, the cruiserweights, the cruiserweight match is going on, which nobody cares about. That's why when we're on and we're talking during a cruiserweight match, that's when our ratings become higher than Monday Night Raw's, because people would rather listen to us talk than watch the cruiserweight battle. That's just my opinion. Now, here's the other thing that would be. Here's a perfect example, which would be a great build-up. Okay, The Undertaker was beaten by Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. The Undertaker was beaten by Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Wouldn't it make more sense to put those two together in a match, and that's all they'll talk about? Okay, these guys both beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, the only two men to do that. Now they're facing off against each other. That's how I think they're going to set it up, is based on that. Well, not necessarily that alone, but that's one of the reasons why they would set it up. Who's better between the two? That's one thing that they'll talk
about. Yeah, that's a good question. That's a solid question. Now, here's my thing. If 205 Live, I didn't even realize this because, again, I only thing I really watch on WWE Network is the old replays of Raw and SmackDown. 205 Live has their own show. Why do they need to take up Raw with it?
Well, they got to fill 3 hours.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on.
Well, seriously, what would you rather do? Why, I mean, this is a boring match. No one freaking cares about it. Okay, they take up Raw, they put in, they change, during the commercial break, they have to change the ropes, they change the outside of the ring, they even change the mat. As you can see, the mat
well,
is
that's all that's all computerized. That's all computerized around the ring posts now, and the mat rolls up like a carpet. The hardest part about doing that is the ropes and stuff. And I know for a fact, when you get a commercial break, because commercial breaks are give or take about 7 minutes long, maybe 5 to 7. When you get like an 11, 12 minute commercial break, you know that's what they're doing. When you get every time I see a longer commercial, I'm like, damn it, here we go. You know, it's going to be a cruiserweight match because I know they got to change out stuff. So that's why. Who knows? Now, Jason, now that you're with us, though, we talked about this last week, I wanted to get your take on it. European title, or the United Kingdom title, as they called it. That match, again, didn't really care so much about that match. except for the fact that JR was calling it. And, you know,
as I've said before,
JR could make eating a, you know, opening a sandwich bag and eating a sandwich sound interesting, you know. But, God, that sandwich has a family. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, as God is my witness, he is bitten in half. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can just make anything sound interesting. It was a match I didn't care about, and if it was any other commentators, I wouldn't have watched it. I just would have read the results. But Jim Ross called it. But going back and watching it again, it actually really wasn't that bad of a match.
Do you think that's why they put JR as the commentator, so they can get people to watch it? Because people do miss JR.
Yes.
I mean, you miss JR.
Absolutely.
I miss JR. Jason, you miss JR, right? I mean, would people be watching it if Michael Cole or JBL were the commentators of that? I think not.
No, I don't think so either. I really don't.
You know, and you guys gotta admit this. I may be off my rocker on this, but name one good commentator that we have right now that people like listening to.
I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like him because of what happened, you know, with Morello, but I think JBL's comments are interesting, to be honest with you. I really do. But anyway, so let's do this. Let's do this, and Jason, I know he's sometimes has a phone connection issue, so he's here with us, but sometimes we'll chime in depending on his service and whatnot. But let's do let's go into Backlash, and then I'll let you tell us who's coming on with us on our special Wednesday edition show this week. But let me pull this up here, and we'll go through match by match, and you can tell me why you hated the pay-per-view as much as you did. And then if Jason wants to chime in, he can do that as well. Always love hearing from him. Let me pull this up here. Boom, 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 boom. So while I'm doing that, so we talked about Shinsuke starting off the pay-per-view. You were a little befuddled as to why he would be starting it off. I was a little, being in the media business, and knowing marketing, I think it was a good way to keep people interested.
Don't you guys think it was the perfect way to introduce him, have him start the night off, and then you know you still had AJ and Kevin Owens in your back pocket, and then you had the surprise of all surprises in your other back pocket. He would have got lost in the card if you would have put him somewhere else other than first.
Oh, of course. That's what I'm saying. I think it was a good marketing thing. I really do. And then watching that last night, we had obviously Ty Dillinger, Aiden English was the dark match that nobody really, I mean, some people care about that. Some people don't. Obviously then you had that. Then we had a very, very interesting, very, very interesting. I don't know if I'm in the correct order here. But I'm trying to go off of memory, but we had the Usos versus Breeze Dango, which I thought it was an entertaining match, to be honest with you. The whole little clip of them in the police station with this day one is H, I thought was interesting and kind of funny. And then the whole costume changes from Tyler Breeze, from the janitor to the old lady to the whole thing. I thought it was interesting. I really did.
It was stupid.
It was entertaining.
Well, okay. Now, wrestlers nowadays generally use their real names, right? Okay.
Seemingly, yeah.
Fandango is not his real name, obviously. And the whole, that's one thing. Two, the whole stupid thing with the bald cap and the fake mustache and the stupid mop.
The janitor.
You know?
He was the janitor.
Give me a break. It's the dumbest
now, the Usos,
thing.
Well, do you think that the Usos with their new style, that WWE's trying to bring back prime time in a way? I mean, I understand Crime Time was different in terms of they would go in the crowd and take somebody's hat and auction it off. Oh, $5, $10, whatever, blah blah blah. They would do, you know, malevolent things like that. But I think just based on style and that urban sort of a look that they're giving the Usos, it kind of reminds me with, you know, them fighting in the wife beaters and the jeans with the sneakers. Kind of reminds me of a little bit of Crime Time, and you know, I really like the Usos' new style. I thought the Samoan
so
thing
got
a little sour, you know. So yeah.
Well, you know, I'm glad that they stopped wearing the face paint and all that. You know.
Yeah, me too.
I do like where they're going. You know, and I like them. I like them as champions. Unfortunately,
all right, guys,
for them,
you guys talk a little bit. The Alexa Bliss match is coming on, and I have to like. I need both hands available. You know what I mean. So, I'm gonna watch this real quick. But anyway,
well, you know, the thing is, yeah. One thing that every guy in your position must ask: how much damage can you do with one free hand? Anyway.
I can switch off. But oh my God, Alexa Bliss! Holy shit! 5 feet of fury. Good God, Alexa Bliss. Anyway. I'm gonna set the computer up so I can see both the Alexa Bliss match and the switchboard here. But keeping on Backlash for a second. So Jason and I both liked that match, thought it was entertaining, and again, that's what the new era is about, entertainment. We then saw Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin. Well, what do you think about that match?
You ask me or Jason or both?
Either one, whoever wants to take it.
Well, Jason, you give your opinion first, and I'll give mine. I don't know. He must be gone. Well, I'll tell you what. I didn't mind the match per se. I thought it was okay. I don't think it was necessarily bring the house down type deal.
I don't think
it was
supposed to be though.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. I just want to make a quick comment about the upcoming Alexa Bliss Bayley match with a Kindlestick on a pole match. Now, you got to admit, that is very, very Attitude Era-esque to have that on a, you know.
But they're going to mess it up. They're going to mess it up somehow. It's not going to be nearly as, you know, exciting or entertaining as it could have been, you know. Because remember, back in the Attitude Era with Trish Stratus and Lita, they had stuff like paddle on a pole match and stuff, you know.
They had pillow fights, too.
Yeah, so it's different. But I don't know.
But,
all I
know
is that I'm going to be excited to watch that match. I know that for a fact.
Well, yeah, I will be, too. And the thing is, last week, I mean, when they showed the replay, when Alexa Bliss hit Bayley in the back of the head, no less, and they showed that in slow motion, it's like, good Christ, are you serious? That was a hell of a shot. And I highly doubt that we will see the Kindlestick used for an extended period of time in that match. It'll make an appearance. I don't think it's going to be someone gets to the Kindlestick right away and then they all take turns beating each other. I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Did you see the mark? Did you see the welt on Bailey's back?
Yeah.
They showed us a photo of it. Yeah.
I did. I say that you're going to see Kindlestick shot after Kindlestick shot. I'd be surprised if we do, but if it happens, great. You know, then we keep talking that we want the Attitude Era back, which we'll never get it fully, obviously. However,
no.
They are still teasing it, and they're making it happen. Like last week, the chair shots. I mean, we used to see that in the Attitude Era all the time. Now we see it.
Yeah, but
you know,
they were in the head. They were in the head, though. You can't hit them in the head anymore because of this stupid concussion protocol stuff. You know. But
I, you know,
let me just switch up the switchboard here. There we go. But yeah, I mean, I just I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna enjoy it. You know, Alexa Bliss just made short work of Mickie James, and Mickie James is old now anyway, so.
Well, you know, to me, I mean, I know how much you like Alexa Bliss. I know that. But to me, she's the WWE's version of what's that comic book character? You know what I'm referring to?
Well, there's a shitload of comic book characters. I mean, you can never really, you know, like, I don't know.
From Suicide Squad?
Oh, Harley Quinn.
Yeah. She is WWE's version of Harley Quinn, if you ask me. I mean,
oh, well, yeah, with the pink and blue highlights in the hair and stuff. Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, that would be a hell of a match, though, wouldn't it? Alexa Bliss versus Harley Quinn?
Well, uh-oh, wait a minute. Alexa Bliss going under the ring. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, get her. All right, good old-fashioned cat fight with some bamboo. I'm with it.
You got to remember, Kindlestick, you got to remember, I'm on a delay, so
it's made
right
of
now.
Bamboo. But... Oh, yes. Oh, Alexa, you are my favorite. And then here comes Bailey. Get her, hit her with it. Ugh. But anyway. Oh, yes.
You know, let me ask you this. You've obviously been to a public library in your lifetime, have you not?
I have. I think everybody has.
Okay, now just follow me through on this. You've been to a public library. You know, they have the section where they keep the newspapers, and they have those little sticks that they put the newspapers in. Those can be used as Kindle.
Yes. They could.
Take it from somebody who knows that those can be used as Kindle sticks.
Okay, so that's good to know.
And you notice on this slow motion of this shot, she did not pull it back either. That was a full-on strike through.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, hell yeah.
Now, here's the thing. If we're supposed to have a guest at 9:55, Mike King from the IWF is supposed to be joining us. If he calls in, great, we'll talk to him. If not, we'll just continue doing what we're doing and talking about, boy, I'll tell you what, Mickie James, she sure looks like she's definitely feeling the effects of that shot, is she not? I mean, whether she's kayfabing it or selling it or what, it looks like she took one hell of a shot, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, and I know that you're keeping an eye on the board. If he calls in, great. If not, you know, like I say, he's from the IWF. He's supposed to call in. If not, keep going on. Couple quick updates, as long as we got a little time here, as long as we get a quick pause. We have three good shows coming up here. We have... Wednesday, our special Wednesday edition. We're only going to have two more of these. We may have some later on in the year when we launch the new format for Off the Ropes. It's going to look different. It's going to sound different. It's going to smell different. It's going to taste different. Everything's going to be different. The Icon and the Big Swing are taking this thing to the top, and there ain't nothing going to stop doing what we're doing. So stay tuned. The new format, the new show gets launched on July 3rd, a day before our Independence Day. We're going to celebrate Independence Day a day early. We are going to celebrate our independence by making our freedom known by the way that we're going to take this show all the way to the top. Okay, so May 24th, that's 2 days from now, we're going to have Dez from the Backyard Wrestling Federation. These guys in the Backyard Wrestling Federation, the BYWA, these guys are just amazing with the stuff that they do. I mean, it is unbelievable. If you want to see hardcore action that's hosted in somebody's backyard, these guys are the ones to watch. And, you know, they have cameras going. You know, they, of course, they don't really have pay-per-views, but they're going to be talking to us about that. Then that's going to happen at 9:10. And then at 9:35, we're going to have Glenna Kamholtz. She is the giant women killer. She's with Freak Show Wrestling. And of all the wrestlers, the female wrestlers that we've had on the show, she has the biggest bank account, if you catch my drift on that. She has these shots that she takes that are just devastating. And you know something? I would not want to be on the receiving end of her finishing maneuver. I would not. Okay? And she'll be on with us at 9:35 or 9:25, depending on when she calls. And then to round off the show from 9:55 to 10:25, because I do believe we're only able to do an hour and a half, we're going to have the new founding fathers of Anarchy with us. These guys actually called me. They found me. They said, why do you not have these guys on your show with us? I said, well, hey, if you can get them on, if you can get them in contact with me, I'll book them. And it just so happens that one of the founders of the tag team, who wants to remain anonymous until he's on the show with us, said, you're talking to the main guy. So they're going to be on with us. That's Wednesday. Then May 29th, we have Ala Shadiez. She'll be on at 10:25. And Didi Marcuzin, she'll be on at 10:05. They're going to be joining us. And we want to send out our Wednesday show with a bang. And next Wednesday show will be no exception. Because we're going to have Eric Angrate. He did the wrestling documentary, Wrestling with China. He got to hang out with China for a whole year when they were doing the documentary. And he's going to be telling us about that. And the second longest reigning WWF champion in history, a former North Dakota State Bison All-American, a former North Dakota State Bison football player, a two-star athlete, an All-American in both sports, it's going to be Bob Backlund is going to be joining us. So we have Eric for an hour, and we have Bob Backlund for an hour. So everybody, all the fans of the show, glam on, put your seatbelts on, because we are going to take you on the ride of your life. And you're going to not want to miss one segment, 1 second, one inkling of this show, because we cannot be stopped. We're going all the way to the top. Eventually, you're going to hear us on satellite radio. Right now, we're on podcast. We're going to take this thing to YouTube. Then we're going to take over the satellite radio market. We're going to get invited to WWE shows, independent shows. Ain't nothing going to stop us. You got the big swing. He's the technical man behind the scenes. You have Icon, who's the guest commentator, the guest guru, the booking master. Together, we also have Jason, who will sometimes make an appearance with us because we're all going for the ride. So stay tuned. It's going to be big. Now,
speaking of seeing Bray Wyatt in the ring here,
Eric Rowan and Luke Harper was another very anticlimactic match last night.
Now, we got to talk about that. Here's the thing. Eric Rowan made the statement that he was going after his buddy, his former buddy, because he decided to lead the Wyatt family. The Wyatt family isn't even together anymore. So why would you even say that?
Well,
the Wyatt family's not together anymore. Why would
you say that? I think they're still, well, they're not a stable anymore, but I think it's general consensus that they're still sort of a family, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're still the original brothers. So I think that's what he meant.
Well, does anybody care about the Wyatt family anymore?
No, not really.
I mean, Bray Wyatt is, he's the breakout star in that. I mean, let me ask you this. Do you care if you ever see Eric Rowan or, well, let's see, who remembers the Wyatt family? Braun Strowman, Eric Rowan, and Luke Harper, and Bray Wyatt. Would you care if you ever see Luke Harper wrestle again? No. Would you care if Braun Strowman ever wrestled again? Sure.
Yeah.
But Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, if they were to leave the WWE tomorrow, would anybody be sad? Would anybody miss them? No. Anybody care? No. Will anybody ever care? No.
No, not really. Looking at some of the other matches, the title matches from last night, the welcoming committee of Natalia, Carmella, Tamina, okay, with their buddy James Ellsworth, taking on Naomi, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch. Another match that was very meh, in my opinion. It's just Raw has such a better women's division, it's insane.
Well, yes, and yes, they do. When Charlotte went over there, I mean, you took all the women. You have basically all the women's talent in the WWE on one show. I mean, you have Alexa Bliss and Bayley, but, Mickie James, I don't know. She, like you said, she's old. No one cares. So you have two main women's wrestlers on Raw, and then you have all the remaining women's talent on SmackDown. So, what did Raw do? They traded the best in the women's division for the cruiserweights? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's tough.
You know, what?
And then, so we spoke a little bit, just getting off of SmackDown, we spoke a little bit about some of the things we were surprised about. Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, in the United States Championship match. Obviously, Kevin Owens is still the U.S. champion, but it happened based on what I'm not sure was planned or not, and that was a countout based on AJ Styles stepping through the monitor area of the announce table and getting stuck and then getting a 10 count. So, I mean, do you think that was planned?
I wouldn't think so, you know.
Because I don't know who the prediction was to win that match or who WWE wanted to win the match, but I don't like when a hard-fought match that's back and forth and both guys kicking out of each other's finishers so much, and just a great match to watch, exciting match to watch, ends in something like a countout. It's just disappointing to me in that regard.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Now, yes, that match was back and forth, and that match, to me, seemed to be rescuing the pay-per-view. And then when it ends in a countout, now here's the deal. I don't think it was planned. But if it was, what the hell were they thinking? In the hell were they thinking to have it end like that? And here's the thing. If it wasn't planned, we should see a rematch tomorrow night on SmackDown.
True.
Period.
We might anyway.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Do you happen to know how I feel about Kevin Owens?
I think everybody knows how you feel about Kevin Owens.
Good. That way I don't have to get into it. However, I'm going to say this about Kevin Owens. I mean, I'm not saying any of the WWE wrestlers listen to the show. We know that we have a couple writers listening to the show. And that are listening to the show, whether it be right now live or on replay. You know, you guys all have the number. You can give it to Kevin Owens. Have him call in. I'll say F you to your face. And I ain't nearly kidding about it. Whether it's your job or not, you can kiss my ass. Because you are a piece of shit. Period.
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah, so, you know.
The face of the United States. And now, the I guess headliner match, and I'm gonna give you the freedom to say what you want to say here, but try to keep it as racially neutral as possible. But the ending of the Jinder Mahal Randy Orton match. Now you were a little upset about the way that match ended. Why is that?
Well, okay, let's. Now, I'm going to give this disclaimer for anybody listening, okay? I am not racist by any means. I do, however, stand up for what I believe in. And I do speak my mind more than from time to time. And this may sound political, and it may not. You guys can take it any way you want it. But here's
okay.
The thing. With what's going on in the world today, you have Donald Trump over in Muslim country right now, and you have Linda McMahon working for Donald Trump in the White House. Now, here's the thing. If you're going to start making the WWE... You know, and they've had storylines like in this in the past. Like, for instance, when the Iron Sheik from Iran beat Bob Backlund for the heavyweight championship, bringing in Hulk Hogan to beat the Iron Sheik from Iran, fast forward to when you had Sergeant Slaughter as an Iraqi sympathizer, saying that he was with Iraq, running down America, you know, that's one thing. But if they're going to go back to that kind of BS and make Jinder Mahal the champion because of what's going on with where Donald Trump is in his travels, give me a break. This is not that time anymore. Wrestling fans are sick of this kind of crap. I'm sick of this BS.
Well, I did make a comment to the people that I was watching it with last night, and I said, you know, and again, I said it in jest, but I also kind of said it, you know, not in jest as well. But I said you have to give it to Jinder Mahal, because if not, it's a hate crime. And I don't mean that from a racist standpoint. I just mean like, you know, with everything going on right now, and as crazy as the world has been, having Jinder Mahal get beat by, you know, by Randy Orton, I definitely think that there were social and political reasons for giving it to Jinder Mahal right now. I really honestly do. And, you know, Like I mentioned in the beginning of the show, Jinder was a jobber, you know, in March. Okay, I mean he was a nobody, and you know, he was fighting in beginning of the card, dark matches. He was just kind of around, but wasn't really anything major. And now all of a sudden he's WWE champion. And I just, it's crazy how quickly they turned it, how quickly they made him something out of nothing. And I think they pushed him a little too quick, unfortunately. Now, here's another thing I just realized. Jason was doing his work on the side here and just sent me a Facebook photo. And do you know that every single champion in WWE right now is Canadian?
Yes. You know that
Kevin Owens. You got Kevin Owens, Canadian. Okay. Bobby Roode, Canadian. Brock Lesnar lives in Canada. And Jinder Mahal's parents are from India, but Jinder was born in Canada. Jinder's Canadian. So, yeah, every single champion in the WWE right now in the men's division has some sort of ties to Canada. How crazy is that?
And is that the first time that's ever happened? Yes.
It might be, yes.
Do we like it?
I don't mind it.
No.
I don't mind it. Those guys are great workers. I don't mind it.
Really?
But
well,
I really don't. And the thing about Jinder Mahal is I like it because it's a fresh face. It's, you know, he's got the Singh brothers. He's going to have the Punjabi celebration tomorrow night, which has been announced. And it's, I don't know. I just, it's something different. I mean, Randy Orton's been, you know, he's been, what, 13-time champion or something like that? So
yeah.
I think it was time for a fresh face. You've got a heel champion now. And I think Randy will win the belt back. But I think you got to give Jinder a little time to be sort of that heel, to be sort of that, you know, figure that people, you know, love to hate. And give him some time, maybe give the belt back in September or October to Randy and set up something for Survivor Series or whatever. And go from there. You know, I really honestly feel that
we're
going
to have to wait that long.
I think so. Yeah. Because I don't think that they would have had Jinder win the belt the way that they did at a pay-per-view with a name that's as big as Backlash. And I understand it was probably one of the worst Backlashes top to bottom that we've ever had. But Backlash has always been a big-name pay-per-view. And to have him beat Randy at, you know, that's almost like beating him at SummerSlam, you know? So I feel like they would have given it to him at a more obscure pay-per-view if they were going to only have him hold it for a month. You know, that's just my opinion.
I think Jinder is going to hold it until SummerSlam, and I think he's going to have a run reminiscent of when JBL won the title. No one saw that coming, and it kind of panned out all right.
Well,
it did. It did pan out pretty good.
Here's the thing. Who do you gentlemen feel? Now, I'll tell you what. I am keeping my opinions at bay right now. I'm
good.
Keeping my pride under here. It's very
awesome.
Hard for me to do that. You guys know me. I speak my mind.
We could all agree he has the worst finishing move in the history of any world champion, right?
Oh yeah, it's such a basic nothing move. It's like a pump handle slammer, whatever the hell it is. It's like something basic and simple. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Now here's the thing. Now we've talked about this many times before. I've seen a lot go down in World Wrestling Entertainment, the WWE, back in the days of the WWF, okay? Now, let me just give my little commentary here, then you guys can report on this. Okay, now, like I say, I've seen a lot of stuff go down in the WWE. Now, it started out with Jinder Mahal stealing the belt, okay? Then now he becomes champion. Here's the thing. The WWE has done this before. when The Rock stole the belt from Stone Cold Steve Austin. He kept on saying that he was a champion when he really wasn't because he stole the belt. Then he faces Stone Cold Steve Austin and becomes a champion. I did see this championship title reign, and I wish I would have mentioned it before. I did see this title change happening. I saw it a mile away because I've seen it before. However, to me, this is more politically driven than anything else has ever been in the WWE. The only reason why he's champion right now is because of what's going on in the world politically. There's no other reason. It's not because he deserves a push. It's not because he's any kind of talent, because he's not. And it's not because he's the best wrestler to hold a belt, because he's not. It's all political. And if the WWE is going to go back to giving champions to people for political reason and political gain, I'm done with it. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. Whether you guys feel the same way or not, that's your opinion. This is mine. And there's more I can say on it, but I'm going to keep my opinions at bay right now because of backlash, pun intended, and because of what people might think of my commentary. So I'm not going to go full on right now. I will at another time. But as of right now, I'm going to let you guys give your opinion on what's going on, and then I'll fill in the blanks as we go. But I'm not going to go full on Icon right now because of the way it may come out and the way it may be mistaken. And I'm going
to
leave it at that right now.
Which is smart to do. Because the show is on an upswing. Well, the show is on an upswing. We have a lot of listeners. We have people who follow the Facebook page. You know, we get comments all the time. We get we get all sorts of stuff. Facebook is blowing up. Everything's blowing up with this. You don't want your words to be taken out of context. So I do appreciate it. I mean, you did a good job of, you know, sort of making your feelings known without actually saying them, and that's a good thing, because I think in the social media day and age that we have, it's all touchy right now, honestly. But
I was going to say, I agree and I disagree with Icon. I think the number one factor, it has nothing to do with politics, I think the number one factor is big business. They just signed a lucrative deal over in India for worth almost a couple of billions. I think that's why they pushed Jinder Mahal so rapidly down our throats. Like, they gave him this mediocre rise. Like, we've never seen this before in the history of the company. Jinder Mahal has a winning percentage, I Googled this last night, of 25%. That means he's only won 25% of his matches, and now he's world champion. They're about to go on an Indian tour. They're about to go on a tour in India, I believe, next week or after week after Extreme Rules. All of this is just to help promote that, hey, you know, WWE, it's for everybody. We're equal opportunists. So I think that's more the reason. Not too much of what's politically going on, but I think it's really about the big business.
You know, it makes sense, and I think, you know, I think that's a logical way to look at it as well. But also, I like the fresh face idea. I mean, the whole Punjabi celebration they have tomorrow. You know, he comes in the limo. He's got the carpet rolled out. I mean, he's got the whole, he is one of those. He's like the Indian JBL, to be honest with you. He really is. He's kind of an asshole. He got the limo, he's got the suits, you know, he's got all that. I really sort of see a reincarnation of what JBL was. And when Jason brought up JBL before, it was a good point, because I sort of see the same personality factors at play there. Now, again, Jinder Mahal, like we mentioned, back in January was fighting in dark matches, okay? In March was a jobber, okay? And now all of a sudden has just beaten a 13-time world champion at one of the biggest pay-per-views, or at least based on reputation, one of the biggest pay-per-views in the company. So, you know, it's unusual, and I think that is sort of the shock. I don't think there was really any shock in any of the matches last night. I think The way the Kevin Owens match ended was kind of a shock, but I think a lot of people thought Owens was going to retain. You know, I don't think that any of the other matches came through with a huge amount of shock. I think Sami Zayn beating Baron Corbin was kind of a shock just because of the physical mismatch, but it wasn't one of those wow factors where you were blown out of the water. I think this was one of those things where, you know, you were like, wow, you know, especially after Randy Orton threw the Singh brothers around, he was getting ready for the RKO, you know, and then boom, out of nowhere came Jinder, whatever he calls his finisher, and then boom, it was over. And, you know, there was a lot of shocked fans in the crowd. There was a lot of people who had their mouths open in disbelief, but it wasn't the booing. It wasn't what Roman did when Roman won the Royal Rumble and their pay-per-view went off the air in a parade of boos. It wasn't like that. It was more just shock and awe. But I think Jinder is going to end up – because think about it. Think about Middle Eastern champions that they've had. Okay, I mean, they were really pushing Muhammad Hassan for a long time. And then, obviously, the London bombings that happened in 05 put a stop to all of that because it just was too sensitive of a topic at the time to have him continue being that character. So now Daivari, who was his manager, is now in the Cruiserweights at 205 Live. But, again, the reason they put a stop to the Muhammad Hassan thing before pushing him, and he was eventually, I'm told, was going to be champion. They put a stop to that because of the London bombing thing. Then the Great Khali got the belt when Edge got hurt. Okay, Edge tore a pectoral muscle. They had a battle royal for it. Great Khali won it. Wasn't a champion very long and never won it again. Okay, so now you're looking at Jinder Mahal, and you sort of say, okay, well, they had that one guy. I can't remember his name now. But he used to make it. I don't think it was him. It could have been. Who was that guy to He used to, like, pull people out of the crowd, and they had to kiss, like, hit translator or something like that. I'm trying to remember who the hell it was now.
Tiger Ali Singh.
Yeah, Tiger Ali Singh, yeah. He was, you know, he was kind of a nobody in terms of in-ring, you know, matches. So they never really gave that moment of glory to the Indian characters because, I mean, they had Great Khali come out as this imposing figure and beat the hell out of everybody and then get his ass kicked by John Cena. You know, so it's like I think this is sort of there, like Jason said, I think both of you have a point in the terms of, yes, because of the way that Indian superstars have been in the title picture in the past, I could see why politically right now it would be a sensitive thing with everything going on to say, hey, you know what, we're going to give it to somebody of color, we're going to give it to somebody who's a minority to show that we're equal opportunists. I understand that, but also I understand Jason's point of, well, we're going to go to India and do a show in New Delhi with a champion who's from India, you know, and I think that that's going to pack arenas. It's going to sell T-shirts. It's going to sell posters. It's going to be, you know, a good marketing thing. So both of you have legit solid points. I like the fresh face idea that you just needed something new, that Randy Orton's old at this point. He's old news. And, I mean, that's almost like, put it this way, that's almost like if The Rock stops making movies and came back and won the title and then held it for a long time. Sure, The Rock's entertaining as all hell, but it's The Rock, man. He's old. Same thing with, you know, if Triple H comes back and Triple H wins the Universal title and holds it forever. All right, it's Triple H, man. He's won the damn thing 14 times. Give it to somebody else. You know, I understand that. I understand where they're going with it and why they're going there with it. So I like all three of the points. I think it was this what we're doing right here and what social media has been doing all day is what WWE wanted. They wanted people talking about that finish. They wanted people discussing it, debating about it. Some people like it. Some people hate it. Whatever their opinion may be, WWE wanted response. And I think that they got a lot of it by how they ended that match. So, in a way, yes, I understand. We all take wrestling seriously. We all enjoy wrestling, and it has become sort of an emotional attachment to us. But I also understand it's a business as well. So it was a smart idea for the words that Triple H used to use, best for business. It was a smart idea in that regard.
But from an emotional standpoint, obviously, we know and love Randy Orton, and he's been around. He's a familiar face, and they're like, wow, you know, you're going to take it from a 13-time champion to a guy that's won 25% of his matches in his career. You know, so I understand both sides, and that's the beauty of debate. That's the beauty of radio, and that's the beauty of the First Amendment and the freedom of speech that we're allowed to have. So I do enjoy that. Fellas, let me say this. Icon did a good job of laying out who is going to be on with us on our two special Wednesday shows that we got going on. I got shows the first 3 days. I got our sports talk show tomorrow, which I believe Jason may be jumping on joining us. Icon's working the call in if he wants.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking Celtics. We're going to be talking NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, MLB, all sorts of happy stuff. Also, we're going to be talking the Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor thing that is brewing, and I think is going to happen. So stay tuned for that. That's at 2 p.m. tomorrow on Sports Roundup. Well, actually, now it's called Benchwarmers Radio, and that's on the Overtime.news family of networks. And then, obviously, we have our special Off the Ropes Wednesday edition as well, so stay tuned for that. Then another Benchwarmers Radio on Thursday. So big, long, busy week for Sports Talk for us. And my Celtics came out, and Avery Bradley probably has the luckiest shot in the history of the NBA and took a game from Cleveland, so we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. So it's just a whole big docket of stuff going on here. And when it comes to wrestling, you know, SmackDown's the B show, Raw's the A show, they've established that. Raw is it over yet? I turned the station. Oh, yeah, it's over now.
Yeah,
I turned the station to something else. But anyway, we'll see what happens with Extreme Rules. We'll see if Extreme Rules was better than Backlash was. I don't know if it will be or not, but we'll see if it was.
I have a feeling it will be.
Well, I would hope so, because, again, I kind of thought that was a terrible pay-per-view last night. And, you know, I'll agree. It wasn't the best of pay-per-views in the world. I've seen worse, but I've definitely seen better. And that's it. I mean, we don't have any guests tonight. So tonight's going to be a little bit shorter of a show. There wasn't as much to talk about. And plus, I have, as Icon always wants to quote me on, but always forgets to write down, I have, you know, prior obligations and life's complications going on. I had other things that I have to do tonight. So since we didn't have very much else to talk about, we're not interviewing a guest, we're probably going to cut this a little short. But, Jason, I don't know if you heard the news, and you're welcome to come on and ask me questions as well with us if you'd like. And I have so much on my mind right now, I forgot the date. But Icon just Bob Backlund.
Oh,
and
nice.
I'm also being told, and we had Tito Santana on last week. I wish I would have gotten in touch with you. It was kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing. But Tito Santana was awesome last week. But Bob Backlund, now, did you negotiate a deal with Bob Backlund here, Icon? Like, we get Bob Backlund, but are his suspenders a separate interview? Or do we get him with the suspenders?
Well, here's the thing about Bob Backlund. There's one other thing. You know, we were kind of talking about it on the air, then I'll go back to Bob Backlund. The Icon is finding all these great guests. Now this may sound egotistical, and it probably is, but this question is, let me ask you guys this. Who has been booking all the guests, and who's been finding all the guests?
Well, you can.
Okay. Now.
Icon.
Yeah. Now, I have found another guy that I'm going to book with us. And his name is Brian Pillman Jr.
Ooh.
Who is starting out his wrestling career. And I'm going to get him on with us.
Well, that's nice, because Brian Pillman was awesome.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of people would say that it was Brian Pillman, I believe. Now, I could be wrong on this, and if I am, I'm going to sound like an idiot, but wasn't it Brian Pillman in Stone Cold where the phrase was coined, Austin 316, I just whooped your ass? Wasn't that Austin and Pillman?
No, it was That's he had beat Jake Roberts.
Oh, it was Roberts, okay.
But however, as everybody knows that Steve Austin and Brian Pillman were tag team, were the one of the greatest tag teams ever in WCW, the Hollywood Blondes. Okay. Now,
yes.
Brian Pillman came over to the WWF at the time, where the term Austin started the term with Brian Pillman called Pillmanizing the ankle. That's where he put the chair on his ankle and stepped on it and broke his ankle. And also one of the greatest and most controversial storylines ever was when Stone Cold went to Brian Pillman's house and he had the gun on live television.
That's true. Real quick, because I got people asking me, and we'll get back into this in 1 second. What happened in the main event? Was there a clear winner, or did it just end in a big ball to go off the air? Because like I changed the station from that.
Well, what happened is Roman Reigns was going to land the Superman punch, but it ended up landing on Seth Rollins' face and knocking him out.
Oh.
And then Samoa Joe got Seth Rollins to tap out with his submission maneuver.
Okay.
That's how it ended.
Okay. Okay. I just got to update somebody who asked me. Okay.
Okay. And anyway, back to Bob Backlund. As we talked about, Bob Backlund is the second longest reigning WWE champion in history. He held the belt for 12 straight years. And he lost the belt to the Iron Sheik from Iran, mind you, from Iran. And it happened when Arnold Skolin threw in the towel to cost because he was in the camel clutch, which led to Hulk Hogan beating the Iron Sheik, and Hulkamania was born. Now, if we fast forward to circa 1995, where Bob Backlund would regain the title by beating Bret the Hitman Hart, when Bret the Hitman Hart's mom grabbed the towel from the British Bulldog and threw it in, costing him the match, giving Bob Backlund the championship, where he would hold the title for 2 days and lose the title in the shortest amount of time ever, in 7 seconds, when he got beat by Big Daddy Cool Diesel, Kevin Nash, which started the Kevin Nash era. Now, if anybody wants to question my knowledge about wrestling, good luck. Because you don't question me, because I know it. Don't question me. You know? Because there are people that have questions.
Well, it was just announced. Just announced for next week. Next week on Raw, triple threat match, Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, and Samoa Joe in a triple threat match.
Who cares?
I kind of do. They're really setting up the storyline for Extreme Rules. I'm with it. I'm all for it.
Well, yeah, but see, okay, you got two jerks and one babyface. You know? Why don't you make it a four corners match? Throw somebody else in there. You know?
They might.
Crowd's going to cheer for?
Finn Balor. Although,
exactly.
I don't know. Because Bray Wyatt gets good responses, too. All the Fireflies with the holding their phone lights up. Now, Jason, you've been to several shows in the Barclays. Is that a surreal experience when everybody has their lights out and all the steam and stuff in the arena when Bray Wyatt comes in?
I've experienced it myself.
Oh, you have seen it, too.
Now, what's interesting about it is whether the fans, and I'll let Jason, I know you asked Jason this, and I'll let Jason answer his take on it, but the thing is, fans do that, whether they like Bray Wyatt or not. I myself even did it. Basically, what we do is we take out our cell phones, turn the lights on our cell phones for the effect, you know? And it is cool when they turn out the lights to see everybody with their cell phones out, you know. It is really cool. But I've only seen it in a small capacity. Jason, I'm sure you've seen it in a bigger capacity, haven't you?
Well, I think
he's probably mad at me for interrupting him.
Wait, say that again?
He's probably mad at me because I interrupted him because you asked him first, and I stole his thunder.
So
or did he chop off?
No, I think from a service standpoint, he may have had an issue. Either way, check out SmackDown tomorrow, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, USA Network. And we're going to have some big shows on Wednesday. A lot of our guests are going to come back on Wednesday. A couple of commercial breaks coming up on the station right after this. We got something starting with live coverage of the NBA Finals and the Golden State Warriors, who are a quarter away from the third straight NBA Finals. That's coming up in a couple minutes here on Overtime.News family of networks. We're going to cut off about 2-3 minutes early, and then we'll have some commercials coming up. But first, I got to do it. I got to do it.
My handsome business partner. Now, we can't be late for our meeting with the bank.
That's so cool. You guys are going to open a business.
Yeah, well, I got a ton of business experience. I mean, I had that job creating ads for the North Dakota Board of Tourism. Hi, do you like South Dakota but don't want to see Mount Rushmore? Come to North Dakota. It's just a very long drive from wherever you live. Best of all, most of the good license plates aren't taken yet. Imagine coming here and having Cool Dude or Yay Jews or Boo Jews, depending on where you stand on Jews. North Dakota, we're not even the best Dakota.
So anyways, I'm gonna edit that, so I just get that. I'm just going to get that last part. We're not even the best Dakota. I'm just going to get that and just play it just because I know it irritates you. I love that. Real quick, for those of you who watched Backlash last night and saw how Backlash ended, okay, it was 17 years ago. 17 years ago today. Backlash 2000. This is how it ended. We're going to take you back, flashback in time before we get off the air. Mike, I want you to tell me how epic of an ending this is.
Here comes the people down low! The rock stars the people down!
So that is how Backlash 2000 went off the air. I mean, are you going to tell me that what we had last night in that, I think that might be one of the best pay-per-view endings in history. And, you know, again, Backlash was last night. What I just played for you was Backlash 2000. I still remember watching that. I was in seventh grade, and it was epic. It was amazing, and it was one of those defining moments of JR freaking out that really made me love wrestling the way that I did back then. So, anyways, we will talk to you on Wednesday. Big guest, as Icon laid out for us, who we got coming in. It is a big, big time. We got big, big guests, and we're going to take this thing, like Icon said, to the top. Stay tuned for our new format coming out in July. And like I said, we will see you on Wednesday and then back here again on Monday. It's been Off the Rope.
Dead Man Walking.
You've done it now.
You've done it.
And I can't allow
you to think you can just walk away.
So turn around
and face the piper you're gonna pay.
Cause the end is now.
This is gonna be a grand day.
A cheap shot.
That's the way that you play the game.
I was blindsided.
But things will never ever be the same.
Nice guys.
It's the day off.